And how did you make that transition from player to coach?
Well, I think when Rutherford came and sparked an interest in coaching, that's when it started. And then I helped Mike Nicholls when he was coach for a couple of seasons. And then I took over myself, did it for about four seasons.
But you had that hugely successful season, didn't you? Absolutely. And Steve Mills was captain.
Absolutely brilliant.
It was a wonderful season.
We decided on a plan of rucking the ball and picking people up and carrying them into rucks, and no mauling whatsoever. Because previously, a couple of years, you'd had big people like John Fiddler tugging the ball out of the line, and going, in other words, pulling us backwards. I wanted to go the opposite way, put the ball on the floor and go over the top of it. And it was very, very successful. I mean, the team we had, really, when we started, was just an ordinary workmanship team. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the season, I think we had about five internationals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you broke all the Gloucester records. Yeah. Didn't you? 1,000 points, 41 wins, only two losses. Yeah. There's never been a season like it before or since.
No. Fantastic. Well, we even had, Chalky was coaching Leicester, and he was one of these rugby union regional people as well. And Derek Morgan was. They all came to watch us training.
Mm.
We played Leicester on King's Own. We beat them 39-6. That was when Troy was 4 points.
Yeah.
And Woodward scored in the last seconds of the game under the post from his own line.
Mm.
Otherwise, it would have been 39-0. And that was a fantastic game, that was.
Mm.
Tony Rogers from Cambridge University, he came and watched. As a matter of fact, he's still coaching Cambridge University.
Mm.
He came and watched just what we were doing.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
That gave me more satisfaction that season, watching that all work and come to fruition, and people like Steve Mills and Blakeway and Sargent and Teague, Gadd, Longstaff. They all came on leaps and bounds and gave me a lot of satisfaction, actually.
Yeah, we've got the team list for those two seasons, 80-81 and 81-82.
Yeah.
The season, and they won 41 games. Would you like to run through the players there and talk about them a bit?
Well, Steve Mills, super captain on the field, never said a word off the field. Go in the dressing room, before the game, and I did the team talk, try to build everybody up, pick on an individual with what one had done. But on the field, he was a super player, good hooker, very popular lad. Teague, everybody knows Teague, along with himself, he was big, rangy, socks rolled down, which didn't please the hierarchy of the club. Colin Price.
Concentrating on what matters again.
Tell
us about your view of Mike Teague as a player.
Oh, he was a good player. There was no doubt about it. Hard. Yeah, he was a good ball player as well, and tackling. He did it all, to be fair. I remember Mervyn Hughes saying, roll your socks up, put garters on. As soon as he got to the bottom of the steps, he was down around his ankles again. That was his trademark.
Yeah.
But that season, Mike Longstaff was a fullback come wing come centre, and got fed up and went to the back row, and it absolutely worked because he was quick enough to get there, and once he got there, John Gadd and Mike T came in and took over.
Mm.
A good back row, that wasn't that year.
Yeah. How about John Gadd?
He was unlucky.
Oh, very.
Yeah, he was good forward. Of course, he had a bit of a New Zealand background.
Right.
Memory. I'm not sure where he was born there or whether he went to school there, but I know he spent some time in New Zealand. Unsung player, good player. But they were a good unit, the three of them. That was the pleasing part. Colin Price is a Lydney lad. Outside half. He had hands like flypaper. catch anything. But he made Steve Baker look really good. You know, no matter what Steve chucked out, Colin Price would catch it. And that left boot. Good pair, Colin. Pudie Conway, pair of brothers. Steve Boyle, British Lion. Another good player. Another one, him and John Orwin. Both played for England. When you think about it, you know, the just ordinary players when they started that season, they really came on leaps and bounds, just going forward attitude.
John Orwin captained England, in the end. Tour of Australia.
RAF. When we played in the semi-final at Coventry, he had to play for the RAF against the Army, and he was a little bit miffed at having to miss this game. So I sent him a telegram telling him to be representing Gloucester today, and he was over the moon with that. And Sarge, Paul Taylor and Moggy in the centre, Steve Parr's over as well. And a lot of people did well that year. Pete Butler, fullback. Colin Price played 42.
It's pretty impressive to play that number of over 40 games in a season, isn't it? When you think how many games these full-time professionals today think is reasonable.
Half a dozen, they want holiday. That's amazing, only 300 points short against us.
Yeah. Can you remember the three defeats?
Yeah. Bristol away, Newport away, and Cambridge University away. Cambridge University was a midweek game, we took half a side there. Remember, everybody was working in those days.
Yeah.
So to get a side on a Wednesday afternoon to go halfway across the country was a bit of a tear. Newport was pouring down with rain. We lost that one. But we beat them at home when they came up here, and Bristol the same. Beat those at home.
And then there was the John Player Cup final against Moseley.
Yeah.
Pity that couldn't have been played to a finish, wasn't it? Or a replay.
Was it 12-all, I think it was.
12-all after extra time.
After extra time.
Well, you and I were there.
Yes, indeed.
Went together to that one.
Yeah.
Well, I think it couldn't be replayed because players were flying out the next day.
We were flying out to South Africa.
Yeah.